Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Y'all, this bitch just played the Night Court theme on her phone.
I needed to hear it.
And I went, and he's like, that's how I need to get something out of my head. I need to hear it. And then I get it out of my head. And for me, that's not how it works. I'll have a song in my head for days, but if I hear it again, it just makes it worse. And it becomes more insidious, like Robert Schumann, who went crazy with the note A playing in his head.
He did go crazy with that.
Actually, it's... That's what that bitch heard the whole time.
The whole time.
This is Reality Gaze Below Deck Sailing Yacht BDSM.
BDSY. Season 3, Episode 7, Strip for the Tip. It's helped for me, yeah.
No, it makes it worse for me. Now it's in my head.
It's like emotions for me. I need to... feel the emotion. I need to kind of wrap myself in it, do it a couple, and then purge it out of me.
Music doesn't leave me in the same way. Music stays.
Yeah. So.
But I think my ear is different than most people.
Well, everybody processes it differently, but that'll be great because tonight, when you're going to sleep at midnight, because we have to get up and do a live show, you're going to hear.
I will.
You're going to cuss me.
I wish it was so easy to get something out of my head. The only way is, and it's kind of like, the only way to get a song or something out of my head is to come up with a much more annoying song, like Banana Phone by Raffi.
Banana Phone.
That is the fail safe.
That is the fail safe.
Ring, 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 ring. Banana Phone.
It's a good song.
Not your sister, my cellular, bananular phone. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding. Some of you have just vowed murder against me.
You've canceled your, not subscription, but you've canceled, you unsubscribed from the show.
Because I just gave you Banana Phone by Raffi.
I think now it's that Baby Shark song for parents.
But see, the Baby Shark song has no creativity to it.
It's a terrible song.
At least the Banana Phone by Raffi has this like... creative whimsy.
But no, children's music now is dead.
You know, I'm glad you said that, I'm not going to go off.
Oh, no.
I think most cartoons are also garbage today.
I guess it's been a while, but Steven Universe was a good cartoon.
But that's not for a certain, you know, that's true. But a lot of them, especially for younger kids.
For young, yeah. I don't...
Like Paw Patrol makes me want to claw my fucking face off.
It's the way they do... They all do this cheaper, like, computer animation, and it looks terrible, too. Looks bad.
Because for a while, I had to go through Paw Patrol with all of my niece and nephews.
Yeah.
And the youngest one is just now getting to where he doesn't like it anymore. But he'll still watch it. He tries to act like he doesn't watch it, but loves anything Paw Patrol. And what's the one I have to watch? I have to watch it with him when I'm home. Paw Patrol will be there on the double.
I'm sorry.
I still think I'm going to ruin this for you. I still think that one of them wants to fuck that dog, Chase.
Doggy style.
Yeah.
Literally.
Like the kid. There's a weird obsession with the dog, Chase.
I enjoyed which they just started doing a live action of it. I don't know if it's good.
What?
But I enjoyed the Fairly Odd Parents. I loved that cartoon. I was older when that came out. That was like 10 years ago.
Give me Snorks. Give me Smurfs.
There's no Animaniacs.
Give me, I don't know. I sound like a really bitter old person, but.
Well.
If the Louboutin fits.
I was going to say, you do have a shirt that says Vinegar Baby.
Vinegar Baby, and proud of it.
Proud of it. So, y'all, let's jump into Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
Garbage cartoons.
Oh, God. Wow. 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 It just really led to a lot of discussion. Sorry y'all brought up Night Court, y'all, which they're going to do a revival of, but now they can't because everyone's dead.
Oh.
It's not good.
John Larroquette.
Just him.
Oh.
Just him and Roz.
Marsha Warfield's alive.
That's Roz, right?
Yeah.
It's like just him and her, and that's it.
Who knew she was a lesbian? Everyone.
Everyone. Everyone.
God bless her.
God bless her. Everyone.
Strip for the tip.
Strip for the tip. Gary looks real hot this episode.
I know this is going to sound like a broken record. Best show of the franchise. Every week they bring us something that not just entertains me, that I go, look at them all pitching in and all of them. So there's this camaraderie, even when they're fighting.
So I have a theory about that, actually.
Yeah. And like, especially even Colin and Gary. Colin's like, yeah, I'll help you out because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
That's what we do as coworkers. I'm going to help you out. Maybe one night I'll help jerk you off.
Possibly.
When you're in need, pal. Because that's what you do for your pals.
Oh, I think they've walked by each other. Colin has definitely just reached over and fondled Gary's balls.
I'm going somewhere.
Sorry.
Every time I see them talking to one another, it's such hot sexual tension.
You got to get banged before we leave on this tour.
I know.
You got
to
get banged.
I'm trying to do it tonight, but I may not be able to fit it in.
No!
Hey, yo!
No, you better fit it in. Hey, yo! Okay, we got to get through this show then. But
do we have an announcement, or we're just going to raw dog them?
Announcement is jump. Yeah, go ahead.
90 Day Fiancé.
About 90 Day Fiancé, what we're doing for the live
shows.
Yes. We're doing for the live shows, y'all. We skipped last week. Some of you asked. It's as we talked about. We talked
some
about
of you have been shady about us skipping last week. Sorry, we had COVID.
We were able to. Y'all, sometimes we get some. Y'all don't know this, but sometimes we get some episodes. We're not going to say what. Sometimes we get things early, so we're able to watch them and record them before it airs. So some of the stuff last week we're able to get out, but also we were just exhausted. And when 90 Day came out, it was just. It was just too tiring to film it, record it, watch. It was too much.
So I'm actually not going to apologize for it.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing. We skipped last week. And then so this week, and we have our DC show that's going to be on Thursday. We're going to be covering...
Part one is B90 Season 5, Episode 16.
16, and technically, we're going to be talking about what happened this week. But the tell-all, and the episode, the kind of last hour of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, and then the hour tell-all. That's
and then
we're going
the
one-hour
tell-all.
In DC, in Atlanta, that's what we're going to be talking about. Nashville's going to be a little different thing for us. Nashville's going to be different, y'all, because the show airs that day, but we don't have a new kind of 90 day.
That's Philly.
That's Philly? Oh, yeah, Philly. So what are we doing for Philly?
I was like, what the? We're not going to talk about it now.
Oh, we're talking about it later.
We have went over this and you still fucked it up.
I got it all mixed up in my head.
Let me just do this. I just do this?
Yeah.
I don't know what you took it. Oh, you took it from me as I was discussing it.
No, you said it and then looked at me like a little young squirrel.
You know what? And I did because I thought you would, because we had just talked
about it. I was doing fine till you fucked it up.
You can admit that you got it wrong. It's okay.
I'll drink my coffee.
Okay. Anyway, Atlanta is going to be part two of 5-16. So mostly the tell-all of the first part of the tell-all, tell-all part one. Nashville will be the full tell-all part two, or sorry, part one of tell-all part two. I know this is complicated. Our Boston show, which is going to be the 15th, yes, will be part two of part two of the tell-all, 05-16, 05-17. And the Philly show, you guys, very interesting.
We're going to do something different. That's what we're doing.
This is what we're doing, something different, is we're doing kind of a complete wrap-up of what we talked about for kind of the season and just like where we are and of our Before the 90 Day season. We're also going to be showing the trailer of the new 90 Day Fiancé season 9, talking about the couples, who we think, just on, just like calling it out right away, who's going to be the big messes, what we're excited about seeing. We're also going to be talking about The Ultimatum, the new Love is Blind spinoff.
Yes.
And we'll probably throw in some more Lalu and some more BDSM than we normally throw
in. It's going to be... it's going to be, shall we call it, a reality gaze potluck.
Yes.
We're just bringing all things
a poo-poo platter.
A poo-poo platter. So, anyway.
I love a poo-poo platter.
Yeah.
Remember in the Sterno that it used to come with, and you'd use your little chicken satay, and...
Let's move on.
How dare you? I just brought up nostalgia. I didn't talk about a fucking high school story that went on forever. That's not how we do. Let's move on. I let you go. I let you go for 30 seconds sometimes.
I don't remember the Sterno things. You mean like, is this catering stuff you're talking about?
Poo-poo platters. You don't know what a poo-poo platter is, do you?
It's just a bunch of shit, right?
No, it's Chinese, in Chinese restaurants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's something called a poo-poo platter.
I thought a poo-poo platter was just like a bunch of stuff.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that then.
In Chinese restaurants where I grew up, it's called the poo-poo platter, and you get like chicken satay, you'll get egg rolls, you get crab wontons.
Didn't know that.
And what was your Chinese restaurant you had in Ardmore?
We had, called Fonda. And
Fonda?
Fonda. It's closed now. There's one in the Mountain View Mall. I haven't eaten there. I heard it's not good. But Fonda and...
But you didn't grow up going to Chinese food places.
But, well, my dad didn't like it.
Okay.
he likes the egg rolls, or he did. He liked the egg rolls from Panda Express. And my mom doesn't really... Never, it's not an acquired taste. So, but my, I finally went to... The first time I had Chinese food was in high school.
We need to move on.
Was in high school. High school. My friend Nathan took me. But I did enjoy the lemon chicken at Fonda.
That sounds very authentic, Fonda.
Or Founda, maybe. It was just fried chicken breaded.
How do you spell it?
With, I don't remember. Now okay. It's an Italian place.
But poo-poo platter is a thing.
Didn't know that. I didn't know it's
Sterno,
a real thing.
Sterno, you cook it on the thing. Never mind.
You cook it at the restaurant?
Yeah, it's like...
I would have loved that. How fun to take your kids to that.
Come at me if you actually went to a Chinese restaurant that wasn't named Fonda... And had a poo-poo platter.
I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah. But now you know the expression, that does mean like an assortment of things.
That's what I thought it meant, just an assortment of things was a general, didn't know it comes from an
assortment of appetizers, yeah.
Yes. A poo-poo platter reality gaze. I love it. Wow. Took a long time for us to get here, y'all.
But no, I had to explain to you what it actually was. Yeah, that's what I'm just so amazed. Even though we're 18 months apart, there are cultural touchstones we do not share.
That's not an age thing. That's that I grew up in fucking Ardmore.
That's probably more clearer.
I can tell you anything you want about Tex-Mex, though.
And then there are things that you talk about. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think that's it for the announcements. Hopefully you are thoroughly confused about what you're covering. You know what?
I'll put something on Instagram.
You know what?
That'll be
just
clear.
Show up. We'll give you a good time.
I'll put something on Instagram that'll be clear.
Yeah.
Probably on a notes app.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even going to look branded at all.
Okay, let's just do this.
Let's just do this.
So y'all, we're still
in the throes of Tom letting the ship run aground. And
which really is, when you think about it, besides sinking the ship, it's kind of the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. That, and it's like Captain Glenn saying, the whole point of Anchor Watch is to make sure the anchor doesn't drag.
To watch the anchor. That's why it's called Anchor Watch.
Yeah. And we made a prediction last week that Tom would be walked into Davy Jones's locker this week. And guess what? He was. I'm not sorry to see him go one bit. So.
You know, that leads me to my first teabag. When he was talking to Gary and when he said in front, or Colin, when he's talking to
Colin,
in front of the captain.
Yeah, he was in earshot.
And he said, yeah, I apologize to Ashley, but you know what? I was inside of her.
I was just pretty.
Bye.
The thing about it is, you guys,
gross.
It's not that we're like prudish about things, but just the casual way he said that felt like he could just, yeah, I know her and I can throw her away. And he's repellent, and the way he thinks about women and the way he thinks about his own privilege in his space and what he has to do to get by.
Gabriella said it when she said he is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. I'm so glad he's gone. Anyone who talks like that, we say a lot of filthy things, but there was just the way he casually said it, like, yeah, but I know everything about her because that's all she's worth to me.
We are also talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
Or talking about someone who's a reality star who's chosen to put themselves on TV.
Yeah.
But he was talking about, and granted, I know Ashley did, but he's talking about someone he's actually been intimate with. And is a coworker.
That's true, but it made it feel like that's what she summed up to him.
I wonder if Captain Glim.
That's
heard
why
it.
I was just so. Ugh.
I think that's one reason why this show is better.
Taking the dignity away from someone.
It really shows the type of leadership. I'm going to go out on a limb and say some people are going to come for me for this, and maybe not. I don't know. Fully. I need to watch more, but definitely better than Captain Sandy. It makes me wonder, is Captain Glenn the best type of captain on all of these? And I know a lot of people are going to be upset because of Captain Lee.
I think in the early days of Captain Lee, things were better.
But at least from what we've seen now with Captain Lee, I love Daddy Lee. Don't get me wrong, love him a lot. He's the old school way of people need to fear me a little bit, and I'm in charge. And
Captain Sandy is the kind of passive aggressive. You don't know what captain you're going to meet.
I keep aloof from you.
Yeah.
Captain Glenn is, I want to be friendly, but be professional, and I want to be transparent.
Yeah.
Really kind of like more the new way we think about leadership.
Yeah.
And I think it shows because it allows this crew to trust one another better, but it also allows them to do stupid things that they would be way too scared to do with Captain Lee, which makes good TV.
And I think generally he's trying to make sure, number one, he's trying to make sure everyone's safe and having a good time. He can joke around with people. I don't think he takes life too seriously.
Yes.
Because y'all, he's a fucking Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah.
That's, you know, boat anyway. People. Yacht people.
And as he said, when he tells Tom to go do stuff, he says, if I literally just ran the ship aground, I would be working my ass off. And Tom is walking around like he forgot to put out the slide. Literally, that's how he's treating
it. And he's just kind of sitting there, and he's like, get a chamois, do something.
Yes.
And it is, you know what it is? There is a level of, he doesn't see his own, Tom does not understand his own kind of blindness to how completely apathetic he is to being to everyone. How he's so dickish and arrogant, he doesn't get it.
Mm.
Yeah, he's blind to it, unfortunately.
Yeah. What's your next tea bag?
Mine is that this primary, y'all, has a joke for everything. And y'all, this is every, if you've ever worked on a private golf course, this is every client you ever have.
Oh, I never had to
they
see
are
that.
The joker. They're always used, it's always the sexual joke. It's always like, she had a hole in one. I love her hole in one.
Wait a minute. Is that us?
This is us, but it's gross straight guys. So it's
okay,
not. As...
Okay.
Wait a minute. Did I just get seen by myself?
I think you saw.
Well, the thing is, somebody did I just call out myself?
Somebody was just listening, just went, poodle, really?
Well, no, it's, you know what it is too? It's the kind of richer white man with no boundaries.
It's not a lot of boundaries, yeah.
Yeah, and especially sexual boundaries.
Yeah.
And they're not really aware. They're kind of okay. They're not really okay with, they're not okay with respecting people's bodies. Like when he touched Daisy, hurt her ear. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I worked on a golf course where these men were members, and there were the cart girls and other women who worked there, and they would just touch them. Not like they wouldn't touch their boob or something like that, but like one would just go up to her and touch the small of their back. That was completely okay. Now, ugh. This was in the 90s,
so
early
now.
2000s, but I'm sure it probably still happens because that kind of country club mentality is for those who have bought this type of prestige.
I hate how many people are going to relate to this.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. These guys gave me that vibe.
Yeah, they have
that vibe. And I don't want to say, and I'm sure they're not, I'm not trying to fully demonize them, but the lead guy especially was always a sex joke to be made, always a, yeah, she was, that's what she said, Everything, yeah. I guarantee you there's that. And just, it was that kind of mentality, and I think it's funny we laugh at that guy because he's always the funny one cracking jokes, but I've just been such a part of where that guy does something that everyone's just grossed out by, and he's using his own privilege. And this gets me to the teabag, finally.
Just waiting.
This, y'all, they want a talent show, and I always think that this is very like Henry VIII, jesters, perform for me.
Yeah, I don't know why they do this.
And because think about it. None of these people have this skill set.
I knew you were going to have a problem with the talent show. I wrote down, Poodle's going to have a problem with
here,
the talent show.
It feels... you know what it is? It just feels like you're using your money so that you can get someone to bark like a seal. And
how much has someone paid you and you barked like a seal?
True.
$100.
Yeah. But it's
but it does feel
it's the feeling of, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm taking it too seriously.
No, can I have context? Because yeah. For me, I think it's of, and maybe we're not super rich driving around on wealth on, and we're not in yacht life.
Yeah.
But for me, I would never think to ask them that because it's beyond the scope of their job, too.
Yes.
So to me, that doesn't make sense. So it feels I am minimizing their actual work.
Yes.
And then I'm not validating the work that they do.
Right. That's implied a little bit. Also, it also takes a shot at people like me who do talent
and
things.
And I was just going to say... And we are talent.
Yeah. Like, and I was on a ship so it as an entertainer.
Minimizes what we do is what
exactly.
We do is easy.
So, again, y'all, no one wanted to hear me talk about why talent shows were stupid.
No one wanted to hear.
But I'm just saying, just think about it, why it feels very Henry VIII, clap, now perform monkeys for
but
me.
But that's the point of these. It's anything you want.
Yeah. Yeah,
you wouldn't have wanted Gary to do a striptease for you?
Well, they made it seem fun, but there is, and every time they do it, there's just this thing in me that just gnaws at me a little bit.
I don't
know.
It.
I don't like it. Yeah. That's mine. Again, I'd be like, wait, wait,
wait, wait. I'm going to say one short teabag, and then we're going to go to commercial. My teabag is, y'all, Kelsey gets to do the night shift. She finally has something to do on this ship.
I hope she's going to get something.
I hope she's going to get something, y'all. We'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart,
and even keep going queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Yo, what says you don't really know anything about Spanish culture, like buying a Matador costume off of Amazon to wear for Spanish night? Again, it's just a symbol of these people.
It is a symbol of these people. I mean, it's very, yeah.
We can laugh at it, but it just...
Hey, we've all, like... We've all been there. You know, we have. I mean, we've all like grown in our, but when he saw that, I cringed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I being too PC? Am I reading too much into this?
I don't know if it's but PC. I think all of us now know that that man is an adult. He obviously knows Spain is, in cartoons, we saw a Matador. We were 10 years old.
Yes.
He had to read a Frommer's.
Maybe.
He knows that wearing a costume of a Matador, which is now there, it's a barbaric practice. They kill the bull after.
They still do it, don't they, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
And so, again, it feels like I'm getting on my high horse again, and I'm going to stop doing that, but it just felt... No, I'm not going to. It just felt ridiculous. I'm like, because everyone else there is dressed nice, and he's in a fucking... What did I say last night? Not Amazon, but Nozama. Amazon backwards.
Yeah, that's the cheap Amazon.
Nozama.
Nozama.
And it's just, you roll your eyes, but you're like, you forget what part of, what rings about that. And like, that was what he chose to wear to Spanish night. Because it feels like he's making fun of it.
That
you
all.
Know, a whole no, culture.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Anyway.
That was all forgotten when Gary went to check if the ship had ran aground in his underwear.
Ooh. God.
Y'all kind of still had sleep boner.
What? Why is he hot this season?
He's so fucking hot.
Y'all, this is
y'all,
been
Kelsey
a really...
wakes him up and he just gets up, goes to the ship in his fucking underwear.
I think it's just because he's so good at doing his job and not really asking. And he only gets fed up at the end, but for a good reason, when he's just been stressed.
Yeah, he was a little extra.
I agree.
But that's just because he and Daisy want to fuck each other.
I think it would be better if they just got it out of the way.
They are. They are John Larroquette and Marky Post from Night Court. They could just fuck no with more Night John, Court playing.
No more Night Court references. No.
Anyway, what's your next one?
No, I already said mine.
Oh. So
the Matador costume.
Captain Glenn does fire Tom.
He's looking for another deckhand.
And I thought what was a good line, what Captain Glenn said, he said, "We're here to provide it, to keep our passengers safe, not give Tom a job." And y'all, I think...
I swear to God, that's why they kept Lexi longer in Below Deck Med.
To give her a job?
No, for drama. They would have kept Tom, I think on any other franchise, they would have kept Tom around for two or three more episodes.
Probably. Not on this.
I think...
I don't know. Do you think they would... Imagine if... I don't think even Captain Sandy would let Tom stay on the ship if he ran it around.
No, you're right. You're right.
Remember, he didn't forget a slide, y'all. He ran. Captain Lee would have kicked him off the boat the next day.
Yep. You're right.
Or even that night.
No, you're right. I feel like sometimes people are allowed to stay because of the drama they provide.
Lexi called herself Satan and fought with people, which was weird. She did not run the boat aground.
No, you're right. That's a good distinction to make.
That's what I just kept screaming
she
at my
might,
TV.
She might have left towels in rooms.
She might have.
She did not run the boat aground. Yeah.
So if anybody out there is like, Tom needs another chance, you're wrong.
Let's talk about how he started to explain himself. And the worst thing I thought that was possible is what he did. It's like, you don't have to say it. In other words, let me be in charge of my own exit.
He's the captain.
Yeah.
Shut up and listen to him. You're correct. It just shows how he is not someone who wants to accept any type of authority.
Because that way, you guys, if he doesn't hear Captain Glenn say it, he can rewrite it in his brain of how it really went down.
It's the difference. I think a lot of it has to deal with being young, but also if we think about Lexi, who was fired, who sat there and listened to Captain Sandy, because guess what? Probably, if we think about the difference of a white, good-looking guy and the confidence he has
mm-hmm.
compared to Lexi, a black woman who has to sit there and take it and let... I mean, she needed to get fired.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, any other women on the ship, they all would sit there and let the captain finish saying what they said. And
I think most of the men would, too.
Probably on this...
Yeah.
I think Gary would, yes. Yeah. I think Gary would, and I know Colin would.
Yeah.
And the fact that Tom, when he spoke over him, I went... Shut the fuck up, dude.
That was when I went, you're never going to learn.
I don't think you'll ever learn.
Maybe this is the thing. You in your 20s, you do... There'll be a couple things that are absolutely humiliating widowmakers for your confidence. And you kind of need that to know
you
that your own confidence is based on what people told you you were. And your whole idea of your worldview... is rooted in a fallacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're all actually just in your early 20s, you don't realize how incompetent you are about how little you know about the world.
This is true.
And you have to have something then, otherwise you turn into an insufferable 30-year-old.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mine, that kind of real humbling happened around 25, 26, where I realized, oh, I have to start over. I have to, this is not the way, because basically a professor said, you can't, it was in a seminar. And I was talking over people and I was talking over them. And a professor said, talk to me after your paper. I just want to use that to explain it to me. And said, I just want to give you some advice. He's like, I don't know how you're going to take this, but you're very intelligent. You're great in that seminar. You're missing everything receptive to learn from other people. You're missing it. And he's like, you're the first to say that your ideas are right, and when you listen, he's like, I say this a lot. He's like, it's mostly the men and not listening to this. This professor was male, and he's like, so be aware of the times where you either speak over a female person or someone who you think is younger than you, because you will defer to people who are older than you. That I watched. He's like, but it's like, I'm telling it to you now because I know you can do this, and I want you to fix it. And I was mortified.
But it's interesting how we take on.
But he was right. Totally right.
Tom doesn't have that.
Nope.
It's interesting though how we take on. I mean, that is. One could argue healthy shame, even though he wasn't shaming you. You shamed yourself.
But the way...
But Tom doesn't even have healthy shame.
Nope.
It's like he can't even take that on.
Right. There needs to be healthy shame. There needs to be that kind of white hot face feeling for you in your 20s.
And he doesn't
have
that.
Because it really... And the fact that he can't find it or won't allow it to happen to him... is a real failing, and maybe he'll learn it later. I don't know, but I'm happy to say bon voyage and never see him again.
Best thing he needs to do is an OnlyFans.
Yeah,
and probably gay bottoming, because I don't think he has that nice of a dick.
No, it's okay. At best. What's your next one?
I know he's your hottest person on the boat. I know we already talked about this a little bit. What did you think about Colin's song in the talent show?
Oh, okay. Can I just say,
I literally don't have a point. I just knew you would, and I knew to bring it up.
There's nothing hotter than improvising blues riffs on guests. That's not easy to do, or maybe he'd written it beforehand, but he made them work. That's a talent.
So you're more attracted to him now?
Oh, definitely. No,
he is hot.
As soon as I saw him, like when I was watching a couple episodes, I'm like, who is that? And I didn't think Gary was hot. Now they've both grown on me. Now Colin is unbelievably hot, but in like a really silent but deadly kind of way.
Uh-huh.
Gary is just the puppy dog that, not that you want to fuck. Because that's weird.
No, but I would watch that 69 a lot.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just love their relationship.
I do too.
Too. I liked the talent show. We can just now that we're on it, like, that's kind of what I expected. Anytime you do a talent show, it's more of a joke talent show. That's fine. If you approach it as a joke talent show, I'm kind of okay with it. But the way that this crew said, we don't have any talent. And I think it's the concept of having a talent show, meaning show what you've got. And my thing is, look how talented you all already are to do your job so well.
Yes.
And so I think that's
your
talent
is keeping us alive,
right?
On a boat.
Yeah, you have a great set of skills, but you know, and Marco's just twirling the paella pan. It's all fine. That's kind of what I expected.
It's fine.
But it's kind of like
Ashley does a Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah,
of course she does.
And then the striptease at the end with the gross guy.
Which was kind of funny of Gary bringing him up to, because he's been the sexual one, and Gary kind of was like calling him out on it.
Yeah.
What did Gary have written on his stomach? I didn't see.
Thanks for a great charter.
It's basically saying, tip us.
Yes.
Good for him for putting that.
I must say,
they're going to get a good tip.
I loved the talent show. And after all that,
what?
After a
10-minute diatribe.
But I'm saying they acquitted themselves really well. after all that.
The fickleness of Poodle Boudreaux.
Except for Captain Glenn's joke, which he wrote, which he's read off his phone.
That made me laugh. I love Captain Glenn's joke. It was a dad joke.
But I'm saying, could he not have memorized it?
No, he's busy being a captain. He's actually up there being a captain. He can't just watch Cagney and Lacey.
What's your next one?
All I have left is let's talk about the Daisy and Gary fight. And then that's all I got.
Oh, was I unclear about, and maybe I just missed something. Has the person who's been talking to Marcos maybe was always Daisy? And because he kind of freaked out about Gabby not saying fire.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And maybe because Gabby's like, yeah, I just kind of watched him sit around saying, yeah, they're down for dinner now. And so you have to say fire to Marcos? Because I guess it's only Daisy knowing that. Hopefully they work this out because I like both of them. And it seems like a small thing for both of them.
Did you see on next week?
Yeah, they were already
fighting. They seemed to go out about it. Yep. So, I don't. Gabby, the thing is Marcos, they're both a little wrong and they're both a little, it's not even wrong or right. It's just their communication style is Marcos, I imagine, is very easygoing until he's not.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because he is a chef. And whereas Gabby is, I would never say is easygoing. And in fact, is very direct. And if you feel like she's messed up, she immediately gets on the defensive about it.
And she's going to, why she works so hard, she prepares all these reasons why she doesn't mess up.
Exactly.
And then when someone does accuse her of something, she's like, no, I've already thought it over 1,000 times. Why would it? And so when someone says something, no, you had to say fire. She's like, what the fuck? You know,
instead of, I just would have said, what? Yeah, you say fire. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the way I knew how to do it. But from now on, I'll do fire and I'll move on. That's not Gabby.
No, agree. So I'm hoping this gets, because it seems like such a small thing.
I actually think, hopefully it's just next week, but I could see this like being kind of, because they both can be stubborn.
Yeah.
That's why Marcos is so good in bed.
Oof. I only had one other thing.
I have Daisy and Gary.
Yeah. And the reason why this is happening, obviously, is they're down a deck crew member, and Kelsey is having to give them coffee.
Get up at 6 in the morning.
That is very early.
That's very early. Gabby, she said to Gabby the night before, so you'll be up and around, be up at 7. Gabby was up at 7, right?
Yep.
I think it showed her get up at like 6:45.
It was weird for the guests being up so early.
They got up so early, and so I feel like what... But also, that goes back to the idea of the talent show. This boat is supposed to be whenever, whatever.
Yeah.
Luxury service, but does that mean people then have to move their work shifts? It just doesn't.
It does.
Maybe we're not in that realm.
Well, it does seem like someone should have been up to get coffee. And I feel like, yes, the deck people could have had to do that. But I think Gary's going off of being down a member. And
yeah, so maybe they needed to get up earlier.
Yeah. So maybe that could have been a hot conversation that could have been had. Like one deck person would be up earlier handling, because Kelsey was coming from nights. She was going to go to bed.
Yeah.
And so there may have been a deck person who could have helped do that in between. But because both of the interiors people were asleep.
Yeah.
Until 7. Which seems there should be an early interiors person.
I mean, it was going to be Gabby, but I guess Gabby was the early.
At 7.
At 7.
But I'm surprised there wasn't earlier than that. So maybe it was a mistake they made. I don't know enough about this schedule to make a criticism. But there was a big, because Gary got upset.
Gary unloads on Daisy. Yeah. I should never say that phrase with Gary. Sorry.
Right in Daisy's face. Just unloads.
Oh, unloads.
All over her.
Just looks like the middle of a Cadbury egg. Happy Easter, everybody.
I find Cadbury eggs.
No, no, no. Revolting. We've got.
They're too sweet.
They're a treat.
It does seem like, no, they're too sweet.
No, they're an Easter treat.
You it just seems have... like you're eating pure sugar.
You are.
But I'm saying, there needs to be tempered sweetness.
Okay, we've got, no.
I don't like them. I don't like them.
Y'all, they get into a fight because
someone's going to come for me for Cadbury eggs.
They are. Gary feels like...
Probably the Peeps people, too.
I do see Gary's point. Daisy is very much of... If the shoe was on the other foot and Daisy needed help, Gary would just... They would just do it and help her. But Daisy's kind of like, nothing's wrong with my end.
Well, she doesn't want to admit that maybe it's not... How she responds to him... is, so what, it was coffee, instead of thanks for doing that.
Yeah, instead of saying thank you for doing a favor for us, that's our job, she doesn't.
Yeah, I think that the initial response, and we've already seen him, you guys, every time he tries to go take a nap, Daisy or someone says, can we get this up here for, he's already tired. So
he's tired.
I don't really fault anybody for the reactions they had. Everything felt super honest.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this part of the franchise, y'all. Not a lot feels like Fraudacity here.
No, not a lot at all.
But...
it's good.
Anyway.
Y'all are coming at us. We'll probably... Maybe we'll put it as a bi-curious. We'll see. But, I mean, sissies are
down under. Down under.
They are coming at us about down under.
They are.
I haven't watched it yet.
We don't have a lot of time in our schedule right now.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably going to run it on Bravo.
Yeah, because it's on Peacock now, right? So I think eventually they're going to do what it... Yeah.
So y'all, maybe if they run it on Bravo, we will cover it.
Well, maybe. We'll have to see what's going on. Well, probably if they'll run it on Bravo, it will go in the Below Deck slot. Yeah, so we would. So that's what I think, because it's people are loving it. They're saying it's really good, and he is hot.
The captain?
Oh, yeah.
That's the show.
That's the show, everybody. Come see us this weekend. There's still tickets available in D.C. There's tickets available in
Nashville.
There's not tickets available in Atlanta.
There may be a couple people who either had to return tickets because they
That's
had to
true.
Cancel the last minute.
We do in the Facebook group in the Sissy Squad, actually Atlanta Sissies.
You can check... In Atlanta, that there still may be some tickets available.
There. I'm finding in the Facebook group, you guys, if you're in the Facebook group,
there's the
join
events
us in the Sissy Squad
there's under events.
In the events, each live show day. So go into the Atlanta one because I think some people posted it on our Wuhan Bat and Miss Kova video. People might not see that, so go into the Atlanta show event. Put on the bottom that you're looking to sell tickets, yada, 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 and
Or buy tickets.
And sell your tickets, and then that's where you can get tickets. So that's what that's the best way to do
that. And we're not responsible if someone cheats you, by the way.
Not our thing.
Don't come at us.
Not our thing. I don't think you can contact the theater, but get a return. I don't know if it's too late or not.
It's probably too late.
You can check with the theater. If you are in Atlanta and you want to go, check, and you want to see Molly and Cynthia too, check on the Linktree link on our Instagram, and that'll be all the show ticket dates and everything.
Yep.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, we'll see you this week. And if not, we'll see you next week. And until then, anchors again.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.